It was in one vacation Bible school that the children prayed at dismissal time, "I will do the best I can with what I have, where I am, for Jesus' sake today." That, in a nutshell, is excellence. The excellence which we are longing for, searching for, seeking out diligently. That we will do what we can with what we have for God today. And tomorrow should be the same prayer. For those who are excellent will one day hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. A person who excels must do something well done. They must do something well. They must do it in a godly way, doing God's will, God's way. Well done, good servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful is with consistency, with dependability, meaning that one can be counted on to do God's will in any given situation. Not that we will not make mistakes, for we will definitely make those, but we strive to do His will. We can always be counted upon to do so. Tonight we finish our study looking at service, being a servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. A person who excels must serve. One man correctly summed it up by saying, "We are on earth to love, live, and serve, not to grab, grawl, and get." For the book, the good book, the Bible is about service. In it, the words serve, served, and service are found 258 times. Not all service is good, however. For some serve mammon or money. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." Some serve misunderstood religion. In the closing of John chapter 15, Jesus spoke to His apostles about the rejection that was going to come after His departure. And then He begins in John chapter 16 discussing some things. When it comes to verse 2, He says, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service." It's a misunderstood service. But they thought that they were serving God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 8 mentions some more who believe that they are rendering service to God, but indeed they are not. Galatians 4 verse 8, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods." Some serve the creature in idolatry rather than the Creator. Romans 1 and verse 25. Romans 6 and verse 6 says, "There are some who serve sin, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him," Christ, "that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And others serve their own bellies, a reference to selfish desires. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Verse 18, "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." A person who excels must serve, but what must one serve? A person who excels in the first case must serve God. When tempted by Satan the third time, Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve.'" Matthew 4 and verse 10. Paul spoke of his service to God in Acts chapter 27, verse 23, and in Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul also went on to tell Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 states, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself up without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. A person who excels must serve God. Jesus drew the line and told us that we had to make a choice of masters. We cannot serve both God and mammon, Matthew 6, 24. We can serve God with fastings and prayers night and day, Luke 2, verse 37, and by presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, Romans 12 and verse 1. We can serve God by keeping a happy disposition toward others. Note with me Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. We are to serve God and to serve Him wholeheartedly. And as we serve others, we in turn will be serving God. Therefore, as we serve others, we should have a happy disposition, knowing that we are serving them as God would serve them. The Bible says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Hebrews 12, verse 28, as it opens. That word grace comes from a word meaning to be cheerful or a calmly happy. He continues, Hebrews 12, 28, saying, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You see, we can serve God by worshiping Him with reverence and fear, literally with bashfulness, with downcast eyes, in awe of God, of who He is, and serving Him with caution. The word most often translated serve in relation to God means to render religious homage and worship. And every time we serve Him in our worship, we ought to serve Him and worship Him in awe of His majesty and His glory. See, we will continue to serve God even in heaven. Revelation 7 and verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. The same idea is repeated in Revelation 22 and verse 3. Faithful servant, a person who excels, must serve God. A person who excels must serve God. The Lord Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Jesus promised that if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. John 12, 26. Honor meaning here to be a place of value, that place great value on one who serves Christ and thus serves the Father. God will put us in the treasure chest of heaven, if you will, as we serve the Lord. A person who excels must serve the New Testament law. Listen to Romans chapter 7 and verse number 6. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, the old law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We have been delivered from serving the old law, but we should serve Christ by keeping His law, Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It was John who wrote, "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life." Revelation 22 and verse 14. The commandments of whom? The commandments of Christ, of course. And thus a person who excels must serve the New Testament law. A person who excels must serve our generation. David served his generation, Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. It's in Romans chapter 15 and verse 31 that we see that Paul served the saints on behalf of the saints. And Paul collected for the needs of the poor, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Paul was a man of serving those of his time, and we must serve men and women of our time as well. We should try to help our fellow man through medicine, through humane treatment of the handicapped, through services rendered to the poor, and whatever other opportunities which we have for public service to those in need. It's in American slang that white elephant is something that represents uselessness to its owner. Rummage sales used to be filled with lots of white elephants. But in Thailand, however, a white elephant is a symbol of great honor. And it's the king of Thailand that gives the most exalted honor to that of the white elephant. And he gives the white elephant to one who contributes to his kingdom an act of great service. We serve the King of Kings by serving our fellow man. And He will reward us for our service. One preacher who wanted to teach some teens about demonstrating Christ's love and showing them self-sacrifice and serving others as they ought, phoned up some neighborhood grocery stores and laundromats with a plan. And one employee hesitated and then said, "I'll need to ask the manager, but first let me make sure I understand what you want. You want to clean up the parking lot, retrieve shopping carts, hold umbrellas for customers, and want absolutely nothing in return." "Yes, that's right," he replied. When the employee returned, he said, "I'm sorry, we cannot let you do that, because if we let you do it, we'd have to let everyone else do it too." You see, many times service to others is misunderstood and mistaken by those who would benefit greatly from the service, to the point at times at which those who choose to serve others and serve our generation have been turned down. A person who excels must serve others. Service is spelled with an I. Some people spell service S-E-R-V-E-U-S. And for those of you who's good with letters, unlike myself, have already noted, that's not service, that's serve us. But that's how many in the world today are spelling service. What are you going to do for me? What can you do for me? When really service is saying, "I will help you. I am going to bless and benefit you." Someone said, "God didn't call us into the vineyard to eat grapes, but to get busy working and hoeing the vineyard." It's our job to take care of it. It's our job to help it produce. It's our job to make sure that it flourishes, not to eat and reap its benefits. You see, the Scriptures put it this way: "He who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves Luke 22, verse 26. One religious establishment got the idea, and they placed a hand-lettered sign over the opening door into the auditorium, and that sign read, "Servants' Entrance." You see, there isn't any other way into the Lord's church except through the service door. Service must be motivated by love. Through love, serve one another, Galatians 5 and verse 13. Someone said, "Grant that the heat in my heart may melt the lead in my feet." And indeed, that should be true of all of us. We should have such a burning desire in our hearts to serve and to help and to aid others that the lead in our feet is melted so that we can get up and do. One Korean Christian physician had lost most of his physical strength with advancing age. And so when someone would call for an appointment, he would ask them one simple question: "Do you have money?" If the answer to that question was yes, then he would politely say, "Please go see other doctors. I am much too weak to care for patients who have money." If the patient, on the other hand, said no, that they did not have the money to pay him, then he would see them. That's service motivated by love. Service motivated by love is that service which is rendered to one knowing good and well in advance that they're not going to be able to repay you. There's no way that they could do anything in return to you that would be of the same measure. But yet, you choose to serve them for the fact of helping them. Service must be characterized by humility. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. You see, greatness lies not in trying to be somebody, but in trying to help somebody. True greatness is to be able to serve unnoticed and work unseen. Invitations of greatness come and opportunities to serve unlikable people in self-sacrificing ways. We may have declined such an opportunity at one time or another with a statement like, "Who does he or she think I am? Their slave?" Oh, that's exactly what we are. That's exactly what we are. When Paul said, "Through love, serve one another," Galatians 5 and verse 13, he used the word douloi, which literally means to be a slave to. Jesus wants us to treat one another like we are each other's slaves, not as any one of us being master over one and treat them like a slave, but we ought to look at every person around us as I am their slave. And when I take on that role, that I am the slave to all those around me, then I can excel. It was in 1953 that Sir Edmund Hillary was the first one to climb Mount Everest and return alive. But he almost did not make it. On the way down, he slipped and fell, and he would have surely been lost except his companion, Tenzing Norgay, who pulled him back up the cable. Now, very rarely is the story told about Tenzing Norgay. But if it had not been for Norgay, Hillary would have died and never lived to tell the story of climbing Mount Everest. When someone asked Norgay why he didn't brag about it, he said, "We mountain climbers help each other." And that's the way it ought to be for us as Christians. We don't do the work and serve each other and serve others outside the family of God for the notoriety or for the fame or for our story to be told. We do it because we help each other. A person who excels must serve his or her employer or employers. And I know that sparked the ears maybe of some employers. Kind of like that idea. We ought to teach those who are employed by us to serve us. And for those who are employed by a boss, they may be saying, "That's not the greatest message." But it's the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 2, "And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things." John Newton, the converted slave trader who wrote the beloved hymn in our hymn books, "Amazing Grace," had these words put on his tombstone: "A servant of slaves." That would be a fitting description of an excellent life. One who served those who serve. Being a servant to those who serves really puts us in a humble position. God delights in excellent saints. Psalm 16, verse 3. "And one of these days He will award excellence in the presence of everybody we've ever met and everybody we've never met. We shall have praise of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. What will God be looking for? It's seen in what He will say to them: "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Matthew 25, verse 21. If we are going to be in pursuit of excellence, then we must understand that to obtain that excellence, we must do something for God every day that we live. When we find that something to do, we must do it well. And as we do it, we must do it with good or godly attitude, doing God's will, God's way. And we must be faithful in our service, consistent, dependable, one on whom God can count on to do His will, His way in any situation. Specifically, as we looked at this morning, in matters of faithfulness, in money matters, in transferring the gospel from one generation to the next unchanged, in our conduct before others, in standing up for the truth against the naysayers, in refusing to deny His name, the name of Christ, even under heavy persecution. And we must be servants, serving God, serving the Lord Christ, serving the New Testament law, serving our generation, serving each and every individual, and serving our employers. That's the service which God calls us to in His Word. If we're going to achieve excellence and hear on that day, "Well done, good and faithful servant," then we know exactly what we must do. We know what we must do out of love, humility, out of care for others. We must serve. Tonight, are you serving God? Have you put Christ on in baptism, having your sins washed away? Are you serving Him as a Christian? And in your service as a Christian, are you faithful? If you're not, then God has granted you another opportunity to make things right. And I pray that if and when it is your time to part from this life, that you can know with great confidence and conviction that heaven will be your home. But if tonight you're in doubts, or you know for sure that heaven would not be your home if you were to pass from this life, God wants you to know what He's looking for. He wants you to know up front all the details, all the ins, all the outs. But He also wants you to know that the reward for that faithful service is a home with Him in heaven throughout eternity. What a great reward. Will it be yours as we stand and as we sing?